Let us start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, once again we are gathered in Thy name to study Thy word, and that we will also apply Thy word in our life, that we will be pleasing to Thee in our conduct, in our everyday life, and Thou will bless us with good health and strength and great peace. Lord, we pray for this morning's lesson, that we will learn not to rely on superstition, fortune tellers, and many other spiritist ways of the world, that we will come to Thee knowing that Thou art the only and wise God, that Thou hast created us, and we are Thy people, and we should come to Thee only to praise Thee, to thank Thee, and to seek Thee for Thy will for our lives. We pray and thank Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen. This morning, we are going to talk about Saul and the Witch of Endor. Background: the Philistines set up their camp at Shunem. Saul and his army set up their camp at Gilboa, and David was taking refuge in Philistine country. You recall last lesson, David went to King Achish of Philistine because he thought to himself that he will surely be caught by Saul one day, as he ran from place to place in the kingdom of Israel. So he went to Achish, Philistine country, enemy of Israel, and Achish took him in, because Achish knew that they have a common enemy in Saul. And Saul would not dare to go to Philistine country, because Philistine was enemy to Saul. And Saul relented, didn't pursue David into Philistine country. So David was safe in Philistine country. And as history tells us, Israel and Philistine were always at battle with each other. And so there was a big battle looming up between Philistine and the Israelite. And Saul was terrified at the Philistine army. It grew big. And Saul himself was fearful of the big Philistine army. And I would use the free Bible images to tell the story of King Saul's last days. Samuel, the prophet, died in his old age and was buried in his hometown of Ramah. Sometime afterwards, the Philistines again made war on Israel. Philistines brought their army to a place near Shunem. Okay, so you see this map. And that is the map of Israel. There's the Lake of Galilee, and below the Lake of Galilee is the Dead Sea. It is not in the map. And it's sort of connected by this river that flows between the Lake of Galilee and Dead Sea, River Jordan. Yeah, you see this long river from the Lake of Galilee all the way down south. Follow my cursor. This river here, River Jordan. And at the bottom of River Jordan is the long sea of Dead Sea. So we come to 1 Samuel, and let me read to you according to scripture. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. So you see these two places? Shunem here is where the Philistines gather together, and Mount Gilboa is where Saul and his army gather together, ready to fight. And the Philistines came from south. Yeah, they traveled all the way up to Shunem. King Saul and his army went out to defend their country. They camped on Mount Gilboa. But when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. So you see King Saul here, and he looked at the camp of the Philistine. A very big camp. Big army, and he was afraid. Let me read verse 5 of chapter 28. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And so what did he do? Verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. So, here you are, Saul, big Philistine army. He was afraid, terrified. And he asked God, what should he do? God did not answer him. Verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So God is not answering him. He needs to have some feedback. Today, the word we use is feedback. Whether he should engage Philistine in the battle. And then Saul said, okay, get me a medium. A medium. Yeah? So that he can go and ask the medium certain question. And then Saul's servant said, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. And so you see here the picture of Saul and his advisors. But then Saul had already outlawed mediums in the land of Israel, because this is under God's law at that time, that thou shalt not consult mediums. Thou shalt not have witches and sorcerers before me. They must be cut off, destroyed. So under Jewish law, mediums are outlawed. Yeah? So what is King Saul going to do? Saul put on a disguise and went to see her. Verse 8. Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to a woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. So, you see, Mount Gilboa is here, where Saul was. And he went to Endor with his two advisors to look for the medium. And he saw the woman, and he told the woman, please help me bring up this person whose name I will give you. And Saul said to him, speak to the spirits and call the one I tell you. But the woman, a witch, was suspicious, fearing it was a trap. Surely you know that the king has forbidden anyone to do that, she said in verse 9. So you see, Saul here was disguised as an ordinary person with his two helpers following him, and he sought the medium to summon the dead. And the medium said, but surely you know the king forbids anyone to do that. It is against the law of the land, and such a person is going to be severely penalized if such a person summons the dead. And verse 10, and Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. So, of course, Saul wants her to do his command, that is to summon the dead. And Saul promised her, saying, you will not be punished if you summon this dead person to me. Then said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul?" So Samuel was revived from the dead, according to scripture, and Samuel appeared because this medium summoned Samuel as required by Saul. And the medium cried out, "Oh, you are Saul, why did you deceive me?" "Because you appeared as an ordinary person before me." And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." So Saul asked her, "What did you see?" And the medium said, "I saw gods with a small g, coming out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. So the medium was describing to Saul what he was seeing, and he said she saw an old man covering up, and Saul saw it was Samuel who came up. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. God is departed from me and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Samuel was disturbed, and he said to Saul, "Why did you call me up?" And Saul answered, "I am distressed. Big enemy, Philistines, making war against me. And God is departed from me. He does not answer me. Tell me, what shall I do?" And let me read to you verse 18. "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." So Samuel answered, "You did not obey God. You did not execute his command to destroy Amalek." You remember at the very beginning, God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites. Man, woman, animal, completely destroyed. And he preserved the life of Agag, king of Amalek, and also the best animals. So he did not obey God. And God, because of his disobedience, said, "You're not going to be king anymore." So this is what Samuel meant here. "Therefore have the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Because of your disobedience, the God did not answer you. Lord God has departed from you. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow shall thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Okay. Very important here. The Lord moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistines. Meaning, you will lose in the battle against the Philistines. "And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." Tomorrow in the battle, you and your sons will be killed. You'll be with me. With Samuel. Dead. The Lord shall also deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. The Lord will deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. The army of Israel will lose in the battle, and the Philistines will win. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth. Saul fell down and was so afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. So, I mean, if you think Saul was terrified what Samuel said, he and his sons will die and Israel will lose, and the army of the Israelites will be captured by the Philistines. What a terrible information, feedback he got, that he's going to die tomorrow with his sons. So he was in a state of shock. He cannot eat. He cannot drink. He has eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. He was in distress. He was completely terrified. State of shock. So this is where we come to in the narrative in Scripture. And the first thing I'd like to discuss is Matthew Poole's commentary on 1 Samuel 28:14. So if you read 28:14, and he said unto her, what form is he of? So Saul asked the medium, this man who is coming out, what is he like? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Saul perceived that the person coming out from the whole summoning of the dead was Samuel. So question is this Samuel? Scripture says Saul perceived it to be Samuel. Matthew Poole's commentary is that this person that came up is not Samuel. He is the devil representing Samuel. Why? Why did Matthew Poole, a very eminent commentator of the Bible, say it is not Samuel, but it is the devil? He said, it is incredible that God, who had just refused to answer Saul by means which himself appointed and used in that case, would answer him or suffer Samuel to answer him. See, Samuel, the spirit of Samuel, is with God in heaven. He has passed on. So Samuel is with God. How could this medium summon Samuel before her? A medium who is detested by our Lord. Yeah? God himself says, let there be no witchcraft, no sorcerers, no mediums, no spiritualist. They should be cut off completely. How could a medium summon Samuel who is with God? So the commentator says, no, it is not possible. Yeah? It is not possible for this medium to summon Samuel. And the person that Saul saw before him is actually the devil, disguising as Samuel, answering to King Saul. So personally, I would also accept this view that it is incredible that a medium can summon the dead to appear in this. It is of the devil. As Christians, we must never consult mediums. Why? And let me read to you Leviticus 19:31. Regard not those with familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So familiar spirits here refer to spiritualists, people who have psychic powers, people who are the so-called the mediums, Don't consult them. Don't be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Verse chapter 20, verse 6 of Leviticus. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after visits to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. So here Leviticus is referring to anybody who go after people who have familiar spirits, who are mediums, go after the witches, the wizards, and being attracted to them, have a communion and relationship with them, I, God, will set my face against that person and will cut him off among his people. So very serious, yeah? God, in the Old Testament, is very seriously against consulting witches, wizards, people with psychic powers, people with who are mediums, people who say they are able to summon the dead, and so on and so forth. In verse 27 of Leviticus 20, a man or woman that have a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So the command is to destroy all these people who have familiar spirits, who are delving into the occult, witchcraft. Yeah. They must be got rid of, because these people are dealing with the demons, the devils. So God is against them. So in the same way, when we read scripture just now of the witch of Endor, Saul going to consult the witch of the witch of Endor, it's something very wicked, because God does not approve of it at all. Witches and wizards are to be put to death. And yet Saul went to consult this witch of Endor. Yeah? So for ourselves, today, we also have our people who are delving into the spiritual realm with the occult. And so do not consult fortune tellers. Do not go and check your horoscope. And there's this almanac, Chinese almanac. It's actually a very thick book where you consult the dates. What are good dates? For weddings, that sort of thing. Or even, they will also check whether if you are of a certain horoscope, Chinese horoscope, are you able to match with your another person of a different horoscope, depending on the date of birth and all that? It's a good match. You can marry. So please do not consult all that sort of thing. Yeah. And that's all something that God detests. Feng shui, yeah? Something that we are aware of, and which is very common also. Many businessmen go into it because it brought them lots of riches, you know, in their business. So they will ask the Feng Shui Master to come and look at the room, consult Feng Shui Master how to put various furnitures in the room, how to move the door. Is the door facing correct? If not, it must be adjusted. Yeah. So sometimes when you walk in the room, you see the door is a bit crooked, deliberate, because it is in compliance with Feng Shui Master's requirements. Yeah. So it's odd, but it happens. And people believe in all this sort of thing. Yeah, to bring them luck, to bring them wealth. And again, this feng shui thing is not to be dealt with, yeah, according to God's word. Lucky charm, wishing well. Some people, they wear a big charm around their neck, supposed to bring them luck, protect them from the evil spirit, and protect them from misfortune, yeah, if they wear a lucky charm. Wishing well also, you know, sometimes it's very harmless thing to do. Sometimes you see a wishing well, okay, let's just throw a coin in and wish that I have good health and strength. That sort of thing. And of course, yeah, we all know that many of these wishing wells are there so that you part with your money, yeah? So, and they are actually put there by businessmen. It's not really a foolproof wishing well that your wish will come true. But they wish that you will depart with your money into the well. So all this, you have to be sensitive and try to detach yourself from these things. Seance and occult practice. Seance is the word used to summon the dead to come up to be alive again. Like what? Saul requested of the witch of Endor, seance. Yeah? And sometimes you watch a movie and you see seance is where a group of people, they hold hands and they dim the lights, and the medium would then call the spirit and summon so-and-so to appear from the dead. And so will appear from the dead. That's all movie. But I think, from what I understand, it is still going on in real world. Occult practice is also, yeah, people, wizards and witches delving in all sorts of sacrifice. Of course, this sacrifice cannot be to God. It's to the devil, Lucifer, and his demons. And because they do that, there is power given to them from the dark world. So we must never go into these sort of things. Never go into these sort of things. Because this is what God detests, and it is a sin. It is what the devil would be. This is some news that I got out from Google, how psychic scams rise during COVID-19 pandemic. So this New Jersey man in his 50s, having problems at work, then he turned to a psychic for help. And during the first meeting, the psychic told him, they come up with cards. They asked him to pick cards and asked him many questions, and he answered the questions. Then that led to a second costlier session. Each session costs money if you consult a psychic. At which time she uttered an ominous warning. You have a curse. It might be devastating for your family. It has to be removed immediately. And then she asked for $9,000. In a pillowcase with 9 white roses, 9 red roses, and magnets. She said she would perform rituals and soon return the $9,000. Yearning for the bad karma to disappear, he did as instructed, scraping together money from friends, a rainy day fund, and an account earmarked for his son's college education. He says that his repeated attempts to get the money back from the psychic have not yielded a dime, and that police refused to pursue the matter. So lost the $9,000. And what a pity. Lost money. So there are a lot of these things going on. And please be careful. Like fortune teller. Yeah, it's something quite common. Many of us go to the fortune tellers and maybe not lifers, but you'll see corners in some Chinatown area, in various corners, people who are fortune tellers. There are people who will consult them. It is not a good thing to do. Stay clear of fortune tellers. Sometimes they tell you things which are quite fearful. It's all part of business. Because when you fear, you go back to them. They will recommend prescriptions to you. How to get rid of this curse? Or that a job is giving you a trouble, yes? Oh, because you have this curse on you. And you must do this. If you do this, you must pay a certain amount of money. And then when we do this, then the curse will be removed from you. Then you pay. So that's how it goes for fortune tellers. It works on fear most of the time. If they tell you everything is well, then there's no money to be made. Yeah, so it's the same for today's many scams that you hear on the telephone. It's all about fear. How they use fear so that you will depart with your money. You have to pay this money, or else you'll be charged with certain offenses. You've committed an error. It's against the law to do this. Something very technical. And you have to pay this amount as security. Yeah? $few thousand. And then I'll try to help you to get out of it. So many people fall into this because of fear. And it can be very real, the way they put things across to you. You see various internet, and the internet, when you see the internet letter that comes to you or the email that comes to you, it has the logo of Ministry of Home Affairs, Police Force, CID. And it's so real. And then they say, oh, you have broken the law. You must now do this and do that. And go into this link. And let me have your personal bank account ID and password. Yeah? We have to freeze your bank account. And all that is all about fear. So don't believe in it. Seek help, ask friends, and most importantly, keep calm, keep calm. So fortune tellers, horoscope, almanac, all that works on the basis of fear too. You are in trouble, and you need to consult these people who can overcome the trouble for you. It's about fear. So was this man who fell into this psychic scam. Yeah, he was in a lot of trouble, and this scammer, psychic scammer, said, you have a curse. It is devastating for your family. It has to be removed. Fear. You have a curse. It must be removed. And you pay me $9,000, I'll remove it for you. So now, perhaps, we will contemplate among ourselves. Share observation, experience of people consulting unbiblical practices, example, fortune tellers. Maybe you have come across situations where other people consult fortune tellers, go for seons and other spiritual experience. Share that experience with your friend. And if you have also been gone to consult fortune tellers, Remember God's word. Please refrain from doing it. Let us take a few minutes. Share about what you have observed. Because today, these things are still going on. Many of these mediums, you see it in the traditional festivals, Chinese festivals, and many other festivals. They do have these things. They will summon spirits. This lesson teaches us not to be engaged in this sort of activity, yeah, because it's something that God detests. It is dealing with the spiritual world, with demons and the devil. We must be careful. So let us end in a word of prayer together. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving care, protecting us, Lord, from the dark world of witchcraft and sorcery, spiritualists, the wickedness of black magic. Lord, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness to us, granting us blessing, good health and strength. Sometimes when we are ill, Thou hast been good to us and Thou hast helped us to recover. Lord, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving care, provision, forgiving us of our sins and our transgressions. Let us remember and recall all Thy goodness, that we may always come to Thee, seeking Thee in prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving. And Thou will remove all our cares and worries and burdens of this world. We praise Thee and thank Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen.